Chapter 79. The escape went bad immediately. The 300 feet might as well have been 3,000 miles. The five survivors had done the smart thing. All the room doors were standing open along the whole length of the corridor to the left and the right. Whichever way Reacher and McQueen went, they risked getting fired on from inside as they passed. Or not. It was unpredictable. It was a lottery. Five hostels, 39 doors, not counting the one they were coming out of. Standard infantry tactics would have been to roll grenades into every room at an angle as they approached, or to blast through one plywood wall after another with anti-tank weapons. But they had no grenades and no anti-tank weapons. They had two handguns and an almost empty submachine gun. Problem. Reacher said, "We need a diversion." McQueen said, "What kind?" "We could set the place on fire." "We absolutely cannot do that. We need to preserve the paperwork." "I don't have any matches anyway." "We'd have to try to get to the kitchen and use the stove, in which case we might as well try to get all the way out." "We should go sideways. There's a clear run through the third chamber." "Pick a door," Reacher said. He couldn't see the blue spots. All the doors were folded back into the rooms. He knew there were six doors with blue spots, built like rooms, used like lobbies. There were five bad guys. Therefore, one way through was clear. A 16% chance. 16.6, recurring forever, to be totally accurate. "Back to back?" McQueen asked. "Who leads?" Reacher said. "Doesn't really matter." "It might," Reacher said. He wasn't pinning much hope on a 16% chance. They were likely to run into someone in whichever lateral lobby they chose. One of the five. The resulting gunfire would alert the other four. If they gave chase, then the backward-facing guy would have to do most of the hard work. But if the four survivors did the smart thing and made lateral loops of their own, one by one, like outflanking maneuvers, then the forward-facing guy would take most of the load. "You lead," Reacher said. McQueen stepped out into the corridor. Reacher stepped out behind him, walking backward, and they moved together, slow and quiet and cautious, back to back, almost touching but not quite. From that point on, it was all about trust. Reacher desperately wanted to glance back over his shoulder, and he knew McQueen felt the same, but neither man did. Each was responsible for 180 degrees, no more, no less. They made it 20 feet to the next pair of doors, one on the left and one on the right, and McQueen slowed and took a breath. Both doors were open. No blue spots, nobody in the rooms. Onward. Another 20 feet, another pair of doors, one on the left, one on the right. Smarter than smart. The bad guys had people in both rooms. Reacher and McQueen pivoted 90 degrees instantly, Reacher firing right, McQueen firing left, and way up at the far end of the corridor a third guy stepped out, and way down at the bottom end a fourth guy stepped out, and Reacher and McQueen were caught in a literal crossfire, with incoming rounds from all four points of the compass. Reacher hit the guy in the room ahead of him, and the guy went down, and McQueen bundled in after Reacher and slammed the door. They stood there together, stooped and panting, with the dead guy on the floor between them. "You hit?" Reacher asked. "No," McQueen said. That was the good news. The rest of the news was all bad. Ahead of them was a blast-proof concrete wall probably 10 feet thick. To their left and their right and behind them were plywood partitions just half an inch thick. And outside a thin, cheap door with no lock were four hostiles who knew exactly where they were. Reacher said, "They don't even need to come in. They can fire through the walls or the door." "I know," McQueen said. And they did, immediately. The first round came through the door. It punched out an ugly scab of wood that spun sideways and missed McQueen by an inch. The second round came through the wall. The plywood was tougher, but not much. The bullet came right through, but it had shattered into fragments. One of them nicked Reacher in the back of his hand. No big deal in the grand scheme of things, but the cut started a fat trickle of blood. He stepped close to the splintered hole and put the Glock's muzzle hard on it and fired back, twice at different angles. McQueen did the same thing at the door. Reacher heard feet wheeling away. Temporary relief, but ultimately only a stalemate. Reacher stepped to the side wall and raised his boot high and kicked it, the same way a firefighter kicks down a door. The wall cracked and gave a little. He figured they could kick their way through eventually, but there was no point. They were on the wrong side of the corridor for the old lateral doors. All the blue spots were on the opposite side, and slow and noisy progress from one rat trap to another would gain them absolutely nothing. Not good. And then it got worse. The building filled with a faint diesel roar, the outer door opening at the far end of the 100-foot entrance tunnel. Reacher pictured the seal breaking, the big diesels rumbling, the two halves of the door grinding back along their tracks, the gap between them widening slowly and unstoppably. Far too soon for Quantico. They were still in the air, surely. Over Missouri by that point, hopefully, maybe even on approach to Whiteman, maybe even right then lowering the landing gear. But Whiteman was all of 60 miles away, and they still had complex preparations and transfers to make. So not the cavalry. More bad guys. He said, "They're bringing in reinforcements." McQueen nodded and said nothing. Reacher said, "How many do you think?" "Could be dozens, hundreds even. There's a network. Everything's a co-production now." Reacher said, "Okay." "I'm very sorry," McQueen said. "Thank you for everything you tried to do." They shook hands, mute and awkward in the miserable plywood room, McQueen still trailing frayed cords from his wrists, Reacher's hand bloody from his cut. The diesel noise started up again, the outer door closing to allow the inner door to open, the ancient failsafe circuits still obedient. McQueen said, "I assume they'll lead him straight here." Reacher nodded. "So at least let's not wait for him. Let's make him work for it." "The third chamber is the place to be. They'll be a little less willing to shoot in there." Reacher nodded again. The flatbed trailers, the giant yellow flasks, the radiation symbols. He said, "Don't stop for me, no matter what. Better that one of us gets out than neither." McQueen said, "Likewise." "I'll go first. I'll go left and through. You go right." "You want the colt back?" "You keep it. It drifts left and down. Remember that." Reacher cannibalized his part-gone magazines and put a full load in his Glock, one in the chamber, 17 in the box. Some of the brass ended up smeared with his blood, which seemed appropriate. Some old guy once said the meaning of life is that it ends, which was inescapably true. No one lives forever. In his head, Reacher had always known he would die. Every human does. But in his heart, he had never really imagined it. Never imagined the time and the place and the details and the particulars. He smiled. He said, "On three?" McQueen nodded. He said, "One." The diesel sounded louder, the inner door opening. McQueen said, "Two." Reacher stepped over to the splintered threshold. McQueen said, "Three." Reacher burst out at full speed, through the door, through some kind of final mental barrier, into the corridor, ice cold and careless, in his mind already dead like his father and his mother and his brother, bargaining for nothing more at all except the chance to take someone with him, or two of them, or three. And a guy to his left heard the noise and stepped out of a room, and Reacher shot him, a triple tap, chest, chest, head. And then he plunged onward across the narrow space into a blue spot room. A guy right in front of him going down the same way, chest, chest, head. And then Reacher was through the ancient door into another plywood room, which was empty, with gunfire behind him, and out into the center chamber's corridor, a shape running towards him from the right, firing, and into the next blue spot room with footsteps behind him, and then it was all over. Finally and utterly and completely and definitively, because of the taped plastic sheet over the old door ahead of him, and because the Glock jammed and wouldn't fire anymore. A tired spring in the magazine, maybe, or his blood on the shell casings, already sticky and all fouled up. The world went very quiet. He turned around slowly, and he put his back on the plastic sheet. Two men had guns on him, one pale face, one dark. The odd ethnic mixture. They were shoulder to shoulder in the doorway, the last two survivors from the original headcount. Both for him. Which was okay. It meant McQueen was getting a clear run, at least for the moment. Their guns were Smith & Wesson 2213s, stainless steel, the exact same thing as McQueen had used in the Fat Man's motel lobby. Wadia's standard issue, apparently. Maybe a bulk purchase at a discount price. 3-inch barrels, 8.22 long rifle rim fires in the magazines. But not aimed high this time. Not high at all. aimed right at the center of his chest. The white guy smiled. The Arab smiled. The white guy closed one eye and sighted down the 3-inch barrel. The Arab closed one eye. Reacher kept both eyes open. Their trigger fingers tightened. No sound anywhere. Reacher willed McQueen to make it. Get to the garage. Hide in the sad old truck. Let the reinforcements move past you. Hit the button and close the door, then run like hell. Their trigger fingers tightened some more. They tightened all the way. Then, two shots. Very close and very loud. A ragged little volley, like a loose double tap. The white guy fell to his knees. Then he pitched forward on his face. The Arab sprawled sideways. His face was all gone, replaced by a gaping exit wound. Shot in the back of the head. And behind them both, suddenly revealed, still on her feet, a Glock 19 in her hand, was a small, slender figure. Karen Del Fuenzo.